Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Dr. Doug Powell, Distinguished Professor in the Department of Child Development and Family Studies at Purdue University. He does research involving Head Start teachers and their perspectives regarding early literacy. Welcome, Dr. Powell.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We're glad to have you. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in Head Start and early literacy.
I have long had an interest in the development of young children, particularly children living in poverty. I think that interest of mine comes in large part from the horrible achievement gaps we have beginning in kindergarten and first grade in this country. And my commitment to early childhood education is a way to close those gaps.
Mm-hmm. Give us some background for those of us who don't know Head Start that well.
Head Start was founded in 1965 during the War on Poverty initiative during the Johnson administration, and it has an interesting history in that it started as a summer program. Researchers thought that they could boost children's IQ by as much as 20 or 30 points with 8 weeks of summer school with low-income children, and quickly learned that wasn't possible. And so the program was extended to a full semester and then a full school year, mostly half-day program in the early years, but now increasingly Head Start provides full-day classrooms.
And what age groups does Head Start address?
Mostly four-year-olds, mm-hmm. but some three-year-olds, depending on enrollment. And then there's another version of Head Start called Early Head Start, which works with infants and toddlers. That's a much newer program, and it's considerably smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 1 million children have been served so far in the four-year-old Head Start program mm-hmm. nationally.
Mm-hmm. And in the study in the Journal of Literacy Research, you talk about sort of the traditional view of pre-kindergarten and even kindergarten classes wanting to focus on the whole child, not necessarily in teaching literacy skills. And so you were looking at how the Head Start teachers, what they thought about this. Can you talk more about that contradiction?
Yes, I think that's an important topic for us to know more about mm-hmm. because increasingly Head Start and other pre-K programs are being asked to promote children's literacy skills. And we have a long tradition in this country of early childhood focusing not only on the whole child, but primarily on social emotional development.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of my interests was the extent to which teachers would really buy into the idea that part of their job is a literacy teacher as well as a facilitator of children's social skills.
And that's been a debate even at the kindergarten level, much less at the four-year-old level, to start saying, let's do something academic here as opposed to something, just developmental and learning skills.
I would agree with you that that debate is almost as intense as some of the reading war debates we've had in this country.
Uh-huh.
Very, very deeply held feelings in the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you find in this study?
I found that, as you might expect, the dominant view among the teachers we interviewed is that they're supportive of literacy skills. They see that as an important topic, but they think first and foremost their classrooms need to address the social skills. And so children should learn how to sit still and not bother their neighbor and have their eyes on the teacher or the book and be able to avoid distractions. There's a quote from a teacher I rather like as an example of that view. She told us, "When I first started at Head Start, I remember my director saying that you are not going to concentrate right away on making sure the children know their ABCs and getting them ready for kindergarten. You are going to work more on making sure they can walk past someone without hitting them in the head." And I think that view typifies the idea that there are these requisites. In higher education, we call them prereqs. Mm-hmm. You can't take 200 before you take 100. And that analogy was alive and well with many teachers in the study, that I first have to have the children understand how the classroom rules work before I can address literacy.
Yeah, so now that you've done this study, what would you advise? How would you advise Head Start teachers and even kindergarten teachers and elementary teachers?
We've learned a lot in the last 10 years about the preschool foundations of later literacy. What we teach in higher ed today is very different than what we taught 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So the first stop, I think, for teachers along the way toward improved teaching is to become aware of the latest knowledge and read the journals, go to conferences, mm-hmm. Participate in professional development as much as you can, because there are new ways of thinking, and we're far more attuned to children's abilities today in literacy than we were when perhaps they were trained to receive their degrees.
Yeah, so can you give me an example of maybe something that's changed?
I think the understanding that children's awareness of sounds will just naturally happen has now been debunked by research, particularly for children living in poverty. Their home environments often do not provide exposure to discriminating the sounds of words, and so you don't pay attention to the initial sound or the final sound or the elements of the word, and that's a gateway skill to later reading ability and comprehension of words.
And so that leads us nicely into what would you tell parents?
I tell parents to get involved in their child's education in preschool, not think that education begins at kindergarten. And if possible, I know parents' schedules are pretty busy these days, but if possible, help out in the classroom, because small reading groups are far better than large group book reading. Children get a lot more out of book exchanges at school, book reading time, when it's in a small group. But teachers are strapped for help, and so if parents can volunteer and do things with children so small groups are possible in the room, that will benefit not only their child, but all children in the room.
Yeah, so have books typically been used in Head Start classrooms, or is that something only done at home?
No, books are read every day in Head Start classrooms, mm-hmm. at least one, if not several. Mm-hmm. That's fairly common practice these days, but there are generally two teachers only in the classroom, and so the volunteer component is important because there are typically 18 to 20 children in the classroom.
Yeah, so what would you tell people who are making decisions about Head Start? What would you tell directors of schools, directors of Head Start programs, and policymakers? Where do you think we need to go based on the information you've learned?
We learned that the learning standards that have been crafted by policymakers at federal and state levels are often too vague to put into practice. The teachers were quite uncertain about how to proceed. And when you look at some of these standards, it's understandable why there would be confusion. There's specificity with some in Head Start. The children are expected to know 10 letters by the end of the year. Mm. And then other standards are poorly crafted, poorly written. And so I think a first step for policymakers, and I think administrators can help here too, is to clarify what is it exactly we want, and then provide the professional development so teachers have the support to carry it out.
Now that you've done this research and this study, where do you see this work going next, either with you professionally, or what questions do you think need to be pursued next?
I think professional development for teachers is a very big need in our field, and this type of research helps us better understand where teachers are, what they're thinking, and that's valuable information to have, because then you can tailor the professional development program to the needs and interests of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big disconnect in the field right now, in that many of the policies that have been mandated at the federal and state level for improved literacy outcomes have not had teachers involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
They've not been consulted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the research that I did gave us a very strong base for developing the professional development program we're now implementing and evaluating with Head Start teachers.
Hmm. Well, we'll look forward to reading both the piece in the Journal of Literacy Research and the other pieces you publish on this topic.
Thank you.
Dr. Doug Powell from Purdue University, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You can find Dr. Powell's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 40, Issue 4. This podcast is now available from iTunes, as well as our site, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Powell. Join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. Peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests. Pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.